Hey guys, Stephen from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the visual mind and how you can use it for your benefit. You know, when you want to become a high-performing dyslexic, and that's a phrase I'm starting to use more and more, is you've got to learn how to use your brain to your advantage. Now, one of the benefits we have is we've got visual minds, but how do you use that to actually improve day-to-day life? So let's dive into a couple of really powerful examples that I think you can start applying today, and you probably won't, so I'll redo this episode in about 3 months with different examples just to help remind you, and at some point, the penny will drop. So let's dive into this. Okay, team. So this is a really interesting episode for me. I really want to do this as much for me to continue to remember what I'm practicing and learning, because I'm as bad as all of us. We have this habit of hearing things through an ear, going, wow, that's interesting and amazing and entertaining and enjoyable, and then never doing it again until it pops up again like a goldfish and we go, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to give that a try. And I have the same habit. Some things stick, but it's a lot more falls through the sieve than stays in it. Does that make sense? But one of the things I'm working on a lot at the moment is, and this is the, I'm coining the phrase, the high-performing dyslexic. How do we create high performance in dyslexics? You know, that's the importance of what I'm doing. I've been trying to distill it down to what do I actually want to achieve. You know, a lot of what I've been doing has been around awareness, being aware that you're a visual-minded person, being aware of the duality and the paradoxes of life. A lot of the recent podcasts have delved into. But what I really want to start doing is helping you become a high-performance dyslexic. It's what my coaching's about. How do you go from where you are to become high-performing by using your mind? The way it should be used, not the way it was probably taught at school. So one of the things, the first thing we're going to dive into is this visual side of the brain. And a lot of this is based around that. Your brain, if you are dyslexic, is going to naturally use the visual, we'll call it the cortex. That sounds like a great word. I'm not sure what the best word is. The visual side, the right side of your brain, some would call it. Your visual processing unit, for images, for little movies, you know, that side of your brain is naturally the strongest. So how do you use it to actually get ahead in life? So I'm going to talk about two things today that are super important. One of them is going to be understanding how you learn better when people are working with you, say a coach is working with you, and you can use this tool on other dyslexics. If you're not dyslexic, this will be very valuable for you. We'll do that last. But the first thing is, again, about visual memory. And I have talked about this a few times, but I had a really good example last night, and I wanted to explain it. So we'll dive into that one first. Now, I was reading a book on coaching. I've mentioned this in previous podcasts. I really want to improve myself. And I'm reading this book super slow. I've realized how slow a reader I am because I don't read that often. Like I'm good at emails and stuff like that, but I don't read books. I haven't read a book, I would say, in 2-3 years, if I'm being truly honest, like a proper book. I've listened to thousands, or feels like thousands, but I haven't read. So I'm reading this book a couple of pages a night. And what I'm learning is because I read so slow, I'm going to double down on reading things slow and trying to take more in. So spend more time. If I have to reread a paragraph, I'm going to look at that in my brain as a good thing because I'm going to more likely remember it. But what I'm coming across is these real trigger word based phrases that I'm like, wow, that's actually a really good definition of something. But because they're trigger words, so trigger words are words without a visual representation in life. So a tree, there's a picture associated. Quality, there's not naturally a picture associated. You've got to create your own picture with it. So your brain naturally will not store that word as easy as a word like tree in a sentence. It just doesn't connect as simply. It involves more energy in your brain. So a technique I've talked about in the past around using visual representations of phrases is super powerful. The challenge is always slowing down long enough to decide what you're going to use it on, because it involves conscious action. To do it, you've got to be conscious, and you've got to do it with purpose. So you can't use it, if I'm honest, for everything. Your brain wouldn't operate. You can only use it for things you want to install in your mind. And so I want to give you an example. So the example I use is reading this book. It talks a lot about awareness and responsibility. What I really loved is it had a very cool definition on awareness. And it's awareness is high quality, relevant input. So it's the inputs that are coming into who you are. That is awareness. What are you inputting? And they used an example. And see, this example I remember really well around driving. And when you're driving, whether you're conscious or unconscious, you're getting a bunch of inputs. You're getting the speedometer. You know, if the window's down, you're getting an input of the wind, you know, passing your arm. You know, the pressure on the pedal is an input. All like life is built on inputs, processes, and outputs. So all this input information, this data that's being sucked into who you are is an input. And that's your awareness, high quality, relevant input. And I thought, sheesh, that's awesome. But for me to remember high quality, relevant input, that is quite a freaking statement, right? I would read that usually and go, wow, that's really brilliant. Let me keep reading and let the rest of it go out my other ear. And so this time I said, actually, I want to know that. I want to be able to talk to people about that. I want that to become my definition of awareness because it makes sense. And the car story is a great one. It gives it context. But how am I going to remember it? Is the question I asked myself. And I said, okay, let me create a visual movie. And I've done this before, but I just don't do it enough, if I'm honest, because I forget to do it. But I finally found something I wanted to do it enough for. So my visual for high quality, relevant input, and this, there is no right or wrong for your visual, just be aware. So I see the word awareness, and I see it in 3D. I see it as one of those words where there are bulbs in the middle, like at a show. I don't know if you've seen a show where there are like bulbs in a word that light up to make it stand out, and they're kind of 3D letters. So I see the word awareness, and it's huge, absolutely massive in my mind's eye. There's no background. It's kind of white. It's kind of transparent. You can't really, there's no background. It's just awareness with the bulbs flickering. Now, I need to remember the definition of this word. So I see a movie of me being in the movie, visually flying high. So going up like a skyscraper of where the A is in awareness. So I'm flying. So that's high to me. That's high. And then I arrive at the kind of parting of the A, you know, that little line in the A. And there I see this couch. And you're like, couch? What are you on about? I see this really expensive, super quality leather brown couch with those little buttons. You know those English couches you see on movies that are just so intense, right? I see this massive, massive couch. And it is just the most beautiful leather. Like the quality is just remarkable. It is amazing. You know, so that's me, high quality, high, I'm flying up at high speeds. And I see this random couch. And don't ask me where that came from. That was just the image that came to my mind when I decided to choose for quality. And so I doubled down on it and made the couch bigger and more lavish and more beautiful than ever. Gold feet, the works. So that's high quality. I then needed to work on relevant input. Now, relevant's a hard word. Relevant is not... there is very hard to create visuals for it, right? So that one took me the longer. So I moved into input. And so I decided for input, it would be a machine right next to this brown couch. Now, this machine would basically be fed something like an envelope. I kind of saw it as an envelope. It was a green machine. It wasn't very big. Very beautiful, actually. High quality. Who would have thought? And you put this envelope in, and that was input. So I had to go, okay, how do I get relevant in here? How do I even work relevant into this visual story? And so I decided on the envelope to write in big letters, Machine One, all in capitals, kind of a turquoise color in my mind. And on the side of the machine, which was also turquoise, in white, it said Machine One in the exact same font, the exact same style. So what I was trying to say to my brain is, this bit of paper, this envelope I'm going to input is relevant to this machine. They match. So from that, I see high quality, relevant input. And this morning I tested it, and I could see the visual in my head, and the words came to me. It's an absolutely beautiful experience, and it really does work, especially as you go through life. You want to remember core things, and you also want to identify and dig them deeper into yourself. Adding that visual side will make you remember them for your life. You know, it just happens. Every time I've done it, it's worked. It's never failed. And the only challenge is remembering to do it. But I think it is something that's so vital. If you want to become a high-performing dyslexic, you've got to learn how to use your brain in these ways. So that's one technique. The second one I wanted to talk about today, around high performance and using your visual mind, is actually on the concept of awareness. And I'm reading this book by John Whitmore. It's called Coaching for Performance: Growing Human Potential and Purpose. Really good book. Holly gave it to me. Thank you very much, Holly, to read at least. It's such an intriguing concept around awareness, high quality, relevant input. And they put it into this framework of saying, you know, input is what comes into your mind. So if you're talking to, say you're talking to someone else who's dyslexic, and you want them to have a greater awareness of something, there are two ways you can do it. And they used an example of red flowers in a garden. That's the input you want to get inside the dyslexic's mind, or the person's mind in the sake of this book. But I see it from that dyslexic point of view and how this works so much more effectively. I could say to this person, the flowers outside are red. Okay, so I could say that to this person. Now, what's going to happen, especially if you're dyslexic, is your mind's going to create a picture of red flowers outside based on previous inputs. So things from the past, there's nothing to say that the picture is real. It's just a representation of something. The input is not accurate. You know, so that input could be misused. It could be you might have a false picture. You know, if you've only ever seen flowers that are 5 foot tall and running down the side of a wall, if you've only ever seen flowers or red flowers like that, that could be the picture that's coming to you, but it could be actually a field we're looking at, right? So the pictures could be remarkably wrong. So I could say the flowers outside are red. You'll create that input. Or I could change it to a question, and this is really powerful. You know, I could say, what color are the flowers outside? And you have to turn around, look at the flowers, and create a real picture of what's happening outside in that moment. Now, you're going to see a much more detailed picture. You're going to have a much more accurate picture. You're going to have a much clearer visual concept of what's true and not what's just made up in your mind. Does that make sense? So that small change of question, and I know this seems like a really small thing, but I want you to bear with me if you are dyslexic, if you're right-brained. You know, think about how this pattern works in all parts of life, right? You know, if someone's just telling you something, like if I say, hey, this is the way of the world, you're going to create a picture based on what I tell you the way of the world is. But if I phrase it as a question, and you have to get a stronger, more powerful input, you're going to be much more engaged. You're going to have a much more truthful image of the world. And you're not going to be living as much in your head, because that's a challenge of dyslexia, right? Too often we hear someone say something, we don't bother to look and get a stronger visual image of the external world, and we just take it on face value. It's probably what makes us sometimes trusting or gullible. You know, we want to believe someone's telling us the truth, and because our picture in our head is so quick, we don't always go out and get additional information. We don't go and have a look in the field and say, wow, that is, it's kind of more of a maroon red. Oh gosh, as the sun looks at it, the glimmer is amazing. You know, we don't do that. So in your life, when you're, you know, it's something to be very aware of is, what have you created in your head? What pictures have been created? And how can you start to change it so you're getting more accurate and real inputs in your life? Because those inputs completely have an effect on the process and the output in your life. So, you know, those are the two things I wanted to share and get you thinking about. Like, I found them really, really powerful. And it's, you know, it's going to help us create more high-performing dyslexics. We want to be, we know dyslexics can be high-performing, but it's about how you use your mind, how you create things that will work. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. I'll be back next week. As I say, if you would like to have a coaching experience with me, jump onto thetruthaboutdyslexia.com and under coaching and look in a time for us to have a chat. Have an epic rest of your day.